Sorry about that. I was confirming how many minutes I have. You got to be careful with people's time. They are very sensitive with it. So, so thank you for telling me. Firstly, I just want to thank these guys that has helped me tonight. Jad, Kyle, and Coach Shelton. I'm really grateful for these guys. They've impacted me in my life in certain areas and in just different ways. Thank you so much, guys, for helping me. And I want to thank the elders and all the preachers here who have also helped me to be a better person, and also for giving me this opportunity to speak in front of y'all. And I would also like to thank all the members here at Henderson. Y'all have been very, very, very good to me. Just like what I tell people, I normally abuse the word y'all. It's beautiful. If you hear me saying it a lot, it's all about that. I love that word. It's addictive. I would like to also thank the Henderson community. As some of you know, I'm from Zimbabwe, Harare, which is the capital city of my country. But I've been here since August 2008, and it's been a wonderful journey for me. And now I'm looking upon my graduation in May. I'm not even a Bible major, but the elders and the members here, I guess, they've given me opportunities. I think this is my fourth time to speak in front of you. So thank you so much for that. And it's been good to me here. As I call it, to those people who are close to me, they know that I call Henderson my second home, because this is where I've met some of my new family members a lot, including y'all who are in here. Y'all are my members, and I love you all so much. I love you dearly. So I'll be graduating in May with my master's in business administration, Lord willing, just 3 months or 2.5 months. I would like to talk about, firstly, before I speak about what I was assigned, I would like to talk about something, I guess, that was kind of embarrassing for me when I first got here. And I feel like I can also talk about it since I'm about to graduate. It was in my dorm, one of my favorite dorms ever, if not the best dorm ever here at Fred Hartman University, Paul Gray. One day when I woke up and I was going to the bathroom, and in Paul Gray we have community bathrooms. So you have to go, you all know about community bathrooms. I don't even know why I'm explaining it. So when I got to the door, there was a sign in front of the door. I know my dorm mom is going to be embarrassed with this story, but I cannot help but to say it. I'm sorry, Mama C. She had written on the door, she said, "August babes party tomorrow." I was like, okay. I thought this was a Christian school. Babes? What's going on here? And then I was like, okay, I'll find out. I'll go to it tomorrow. And as far as many people know about me, I go to bed very early, like around 9-ish, 10-ish the latest. So when I read this flyer, I guess, that was on the door of the bathroom. It said, August babes, like lobby, party, whatever. I was like, okay. Let me go see what this is. So here I was. I stood up until 11 p.m. It's like, okay, let's see what this is all about. I got there. To my surprise, I only saw guys only. I was like, what's going on? Is there something I'm missing or what? And then in my mind, I was thinking like, okay, are they gay? What? Because I'm not sure of what's going on in here. There's only guys, and it says August babes. And little did I know that it's a culture in Port Grey. Every name, like if you have a birthday in August or September, she just calls all the guys who are having birthdays in that month babes. So I was just like, okay, welcome to America. Such is life. I'm sorry, but I'm almost gone, so I can say it. Okay, we've been looking at more than a name, and I was assigned comforter, God being our comforter. When I was assigned this topic, I asked myself firstly, like, when does God comfort me? Or how does God comfort me? Or where, when, how does he do it? So when I was looking into the passages and been studying about it, I could not help but to keep thinking about Matthew 5:3-10, if you all can go there with me. Matthew 5:3-10. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they'll see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When I was reading these Beatitudes, it says blessed, and it does not say happy. When I was thinking about it more, I just realized that you can be blessed in tough situations. You can be blessed in rough situations. Because as we read here, we can find that you can find blessings in poor spirit. You can find blessings in mourning. You can find blessings in meekness. And you can find blessings in poor in heart. My brothers and sisters, personally, I feel that there's a difference between being happy and being blessed. Your situations should never determine if you're blessed or not. Because when even you are in tough situations and circumstances, just remember that you're still blessed in those situations. Because God is still with you. And God loves you because he is our comforter. You bless us in those rough situations that we're facing. in those tough situations. So my question will be, would you rather be happy or be blessed? Or next time when you incur certain situations, how are you going to go about it? Are you going to think as a blessed person? Or it's going to put you down and not realize that you have God on your side and that everything is happening for a reason, for those who call upon God. So no matter what you're going through, you can be blessed in it. When I was also reading in these Beatitudes, I also realized that you can be happy but not blessed in your situations. I started thinking about one of the situations, what happened when I was back home. And some of you know, I came here with a soccer scholarship, which I'm very grateful to Coach Elliot and Coach McCutcheon and the school in general. I'm so grateful for that. But when I was back home, we are not that materially blessed, but we are so rich in love, which I'm very grateful for. But there were tough situations where it was very hard to get some of the things you needed. So here I was with my friends. I love soccer. And some of my friends were like five of us. We had a goalie and four players in the who would play inside. And what we'd do, it was a bad habit. Would gamble with other teams. Of course, when we won, it was pretty good. I was pretty much happy. Because after winning and after betting the money, you know that you got something in your pocket now. And now you can go and buy some few things that you need. But when I was reading also these Beatitudes, I thought of that situation. I was happy when we won every time. I was so much happy when we had money in our pockets after winning. But would I say I was blessed in those situations? No, I was doing the wrong thing. That was wrong. And what happened to me these days, when I was growing up, when I was little, and after reading these Beatitudes, it just made me realize that we can be happy. But are we happy in the right things? Are you happy in sinfulness? What are you happy in? And instead, you can also be blessed and blessed in tough situations. Let's embrace how we can be blessed even in rough situations and tough situations. Because God is our comforter in every way. So what are you going to choose? Are you going to be happy? Or are you going to understand and celebrate how you're blessed in your situations? The second thing that we're going to look into is, do my situations and circumstances determine if God is with me or not? I started thinking about the Joseph story, which some of you know very much. I mean, here people know Bible a lot. I remember my first few days when I started attending here. You're like, many of people here are like saturated with the Bible. I mean, I think from their sleep they can say verses, which is a good thing. So I know some of you know this story. It's the Joseph story in Genesis. What really struck me with this story is how Joseph was blessed in his situations. If you all can go with me to Genesis 39, and we're going to look into verse 2, 3, 21 and 23. Genesis 39, verse 2, 3, 21, and 23. It says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. And we go to verse 21. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in eyes of the prison warden. And verse 23 says, the warden paid attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. In these verses, if you all paid attention, it's talking about how God was with Joseph. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Joseph was not at a place where you would want to be at first when he was facing this situation. He was in tough, difficult situations. But as we look into this chapter 39, four times does it say, the Lord was with Joseph. What are you facing through right now that can make you stop thinking that God is still with you? Because Joseph, his brothers hated him at first. How many times have you been hated with people in the world, with how you're trying to live your life? How many times have you been in an uncomfortable situation? I don't know about you, but I've been there. But are you going to look back and remember that God is still with you? God is still going to comfort you through those situations. Joseph was in a foreign land, being a slave in a foreign land. In conditions you would never wish. But still in this chapter, four times does it say, God was with Joseph. How about you? Have you ever asked yourself if your situations or circumstances stop you from seeing how God loves you and how he's still there for you as his comforter? It's hard to see when you're in the situations. And that's where it plays in whenever you come to church, so that you can be uplifted with your brothers and sisters, with Brother Billy Smith, Brother Roy Sharp, because this is a war that we are against. It's not something that is just like, I guess, lullaby, as you call it, music for babies or something so sweet. It's not that. This is a war. Are we all ready for it? How are we going to get ready for it? How would we reminded? How are we going to be reminded when we come here, or when we have the opportunity to come here at church and be uplifted and be reminded of how God he is our comforter? Are you going to make time for God fully involved so that you may know what is expected of you and what you should be doing? Because God needs you. God wants us to understand how we should not be controlled with our situations. Because even in those situations, God is still with us. No matter what the doctors say, No matter what the report from the doctor is saying, or no matter what the situation is saying, I don't know about your situation, but God is still with you. And from the Bible scripture that was just read with Kyle, God left that spirit. He trusted that spirit within you guys. So it's now up to us. Are we going to go to war and knowing that God needs our help in order to help this world to be a better place? By the way, we're going to be living and understanding that we are still blessed in our tough situations. God is still with us. Let us embrace it, because God loves us so much. And He needs us to help this world. Can you turn your Bibles to Matthew 26, verses 39, 42, and 44? Matthew 26, verse 39 says, going a little further, he fell his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And verse 42 says, he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done." Verse 34 says, so he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. My brothers and sisters, this is Jesus Christ praying to God. As more as I looked into these chapters, of course, for more clarification, I can go to people like Brother Roy Sharp, Brother Billy Smith to help me. But as far as I understood these verses and these chapters that I've read, and that I've been studying, this is Jesus asking for God if there is any other way it could be done. Have you ever been in a situation where you prayed to God and you felt like He didn't answer you? And this is my point on these chapters. Just because we prayed about it, just because we are Christians, that doesn't mean that we're going to be guaranteed a yes. Because God knows and sees the big picture. He's seeing behind what you can know and understand. He knows far beyond what you can understand. So when He says no, are you still going to rejoice in it? How many people have kneeled down and prayed to God after something has happened to you that you weren't expecting? Being it a doctor's report, being it losing a job, being it losing a family member or something. How many times have you just kneeled down and prayed to God and thank Him in tough situations? How many times? My brothers and sisters, if we are not careful, we are putting God into a box. where we are like, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to show people how grateful I am, God. Whenever you bless me with this, whenever I have this baby, whenever I have this job, whenever I have this kind of life, whenever I have this kind of house, whenever I have this type of family, I'm going to be so grateful to God. But are you going to kneel down whenever it's not going your way and say, God, I know you're still in control. I know you're seeing far beyond this. Are you still going to kneel down and say, thank you? I know you're going to deliver because you are a God who delivers. And you are a God who comforts all the times. Have you ever done that? After that tough exam and you've been studying for several hours and you get an F, are you going to still kneel down and say, God, thank you? I know that you're still in control and you're seeing beyond this. My brothers and sisters in Christ, God is still there. It's not about your situation. It's not about your circumstance. Let us keep pushing and doing the right things. If God can say no to Jesus on this prayer, he prayed three times. Have you ever asked yourself, what about me? We're talking of Jesus, perfect person to ever be in this world in any kind, you name it. Never sinned, but still God was seeing the big picture. Maybe God is saying no to you right now, to some of your prayers, because he knows what's best for you. He knows what you need, and he's seeing the big picture. John 14, 26 through 27 says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in the name, will teach you all things and will remind of everything I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. What's troubling you today? Is it money issues? Is it your health? I don't know. But God says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. That's comforting. It's just so beautiful. The more you read it, the more you take in what God is saying to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. What are you afraid of? God left his spirit within all of us, so that we can go out to the world and show it to the world how we have God within us. That is the way we think, talk, and the way we act. We're going to reflect it that we still have God within us, and he is our comforter. So let us not be troubled. And let us not be afraid, because God is with us. Romans 8:37 says, Romans 8:37 says, Know in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Know in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I love how specific this verse is. It does not say some or few. It says all things. We can be conquerors in all situations through God's strength. But do we have that faith like a mustard seed that we will believe and know that God will carry us through and that we are more than conquerors through him? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 say, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances. Not in few circumstances, not when things are going your way, not you feel like you've been blessed with a car, with a house. I don't know. But sometimes the way we determine how we're blessed, it's unbelievable. But do we still give thanks in all circumstances? Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I'm not a very good singer. I don't sing very well. I'm one of the worst singers ever, period. But when I was reading this verse, I promised myself I was going to do this. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. That is so beautiful. I should just be still and know that I am God. Are you having an addiction? Are you having problems in your life? What are you facing right now? The next person you can ever be true to is yourself. You may think someone knows you very well, but you know yourself very well. You and God, period. Whatever that you're going through right now, just be still and know that he is God. Exodus 14:13-15 say, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm And you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." I'm going to repeat Exodus 14, 13 through 15. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You need only to be still." The Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." Before I close tonight, in Exodus, it's saying, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm." You need only to be still. My brothers and sisters, what are you facing right now? What is stopping you from being the person that God designed you to be? I don't know what it is. Maybe the doctor is telling you that you only have a few days, but he's only a doctor. I wonder how life will be like if the sermons that have been preached here with Brother Billy Smith and Brother Roy Sharp, if we would have taken them as serious as what the doctors tells us whenever we are not feeling well, to go and do what they tell us. I wonder how the world will be like. I wonder how, as people, we will be like. Whenever you go back to your house, I guess husband and wife, you know, like you're coming from the doctor and the husband or the wife is saying, "Oh, honey, have you taken the pills? The doctor said, you know, you gotta be better, you gotta be well. Take those pills, you need them." Have you ever said that to your wife or to your husband or to your fellow students or to your friends, whoever it is? Do you remember what Brother Billy Smith said? What Brother Roy Sharp said? But guess what? This is the word of God. It's not, I don't know how to describe it. It's the word of God. Word of God. But we can check on each other after what the doctor tells us to do. And we will help each other until someone feels better. But do we do the same thing when it comes to God? "Honey, do you remember what Brother Rishab said?" "Nah, we're not going to do that." "Nah, not tonight." "Oh, not even. We need it." Have we ever looked into that? But after what the doctor say, I'm telling you, 99, if not 100%, they're going to do it. I'm sorry, I'm not after the doctor's ear, but it's just a point that I want people to see here. It's not like I'm after doctors or anything like that. Nah, it's just a point that I want people to see. But whatever that you're going through, whatever the situation, God is still with you and God is your comforter. What do you need tonight? I like how in Exodus 14, 13 through 15 says, at the end of that verse 15. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. My brothers and sisters, it only takes you to move on from whatever that you're facing right now. Whatever disappointment, just move on and be still and know that He is God and He loves you. Whatever that you're facing, please, if you need any help, please come up front. If you have any need, concern, this is your time. Be still and know that He's God. He loves you and you will deliver. He is the comforter of us in all situations, in all circumstances. God loves us in every way. But all it takes is to do our part. We need to be still and know that He is God and He is in control. If you have any need, please come up front as we stand and sing.